so I figured I would, you know, just say a couple things. I don't know if you guys know this, but in 2017, $410 billion was donated to charity. $410 billion with a B. 2.1% of our national GDP for that year was donated to charity. What this says to me is that God has designed us to give what He has first given to us. It's part of our design. And people reflect that. Even if they're non-Christians, they still feel the need to give back because God has designed us in such a way. Now, unfortunately, people have actually learned how to kind of manipulate the good hearts that people have. And so they do. They usually try to use an emotional response to generate funds. A few years back, there was a gentleman who created a series of videos to highlight the atrocities of something that was going on in Africa. He generated millions of dollars. However, his business model claimed that he was generating money simply to make people aware of the issue. So he generated millions of dollars for himself and for making videos about that problem. Not fixing the problem, but just making people aware of the problem. One of the things that we do here is a little bit different. We have this thing we call the Estimate of Giving card. And I put some sheets together, and they're out front. You know, if you guys are interested in looking about them, we haven't always done this in the past. We're doing it this year just to answer a few of these questions. But part of the reason that we do an Estimate of Giving card is because we are the polar opposite of what I just said. You see, we're not trying to generate some fake emotional response. What we want you to do is we want you to prayerfully think about God's gifts to you, God's blessings to you, and how you intend and plan to respond. We want it to be done something that is prayerfully considered. We want you to go to our Lord in prayer, and we want you to think about that. And then after that, on the 29th, if you want to, you'll have the option to fill out one of these cards, this Estimate of Giving card. And so that's one of the things that we do. Now, it's beneficial because it's not an emotional response. It's not just us kind of begging or anything like that. It's more of you going to the Lord in prayer and basically coming with a response through your prayer. And the added benefit for us is that we can utilize those cards to make sure that as a church, we are also trying to do what pleases the Lord. And that part of that means that we actually create a budget and we try to spend within our means. And so that's the added benefit of these cards that it has for us. Now, some people have asked, who sees my card? The answer is not many people. I think the financial secretary sees them. That's about it. I don't see them. Nobody else around sees them. Just the financial secretary, the person who has to enter the data into the sheets, and that's it. Nobody else actually sees the cards or any kind of name or anything else that adjusts us with that. But the overall point of all of this is this. We like to look at stewardship not as something that's a drag, but something that's actually a joy, a celebration, a response that we receive first and foremost from God and His gifts to us and our response to that. And because of that, one of the things that we do every year, and we've done it for the last several years, is we actually have a meal that goes with it. And hopefully you received one of these at the door. If you didn't, that's okay. We'll have them in the back. And this is a Consecration Sunday reservation card. Because you see, this meal that we do, it's a joy, it's a celebration, and it's not a potluck. Which means we're not asking you to bring anything. We're asking you to come and celebrate with us the joy of the gifts that God has given to us. You don't have to bring anything. It's a great German meal. I love it every year. It is one of my favorite meals of the year, if not my favorite, because who doesn't like German food? You might not, but I do. I love it. So hopefully you will join us with joy and celebration, which is what this is all about. So we have this card because, you see, part of the problem is it's not a potluck, which means we have to know how many people are coming. Because we have to make sure we have enough food for everybody because it's good food. And so we're hoping that you'll be able to join us. That's what this card is for. So please fill this out when you get a chance and let us know that you'll be coming and joining us for that Sunday. And again, if you have any other questions, there's a few of them that are answered on this sheet that's out at the front center. If not, you can always ask me personally or any member of the stewardship committee about that. So that's all I have. There you go. With that, let us now stand and greet one another in the name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our service begins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated as our service now continues with our readings.
The Old Testament reading is from Ezekiel chapter 34. For thus says the Lord God, Behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out, as a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that has been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries, and will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the ravines, and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them with good pasture, and on the heights of mountains of Israel shall be their grazing land. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and on rich pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak, and the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice. As for you, my flock, thus says the Lord God, Behold, I judge between sheep and sheep, between rams and male goats. Is it not enough for you to feed on the good pasture, that you must tread down with your feet the rest of your pasture, and to drink of clean water, that you must muddy the rest of the water with your feet? And must my sheep eat what you have trodden with your feet, and drink what you have muddied with your feet? Therefore, thus says the Lord God to them, Behold, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep, because you push with side and shoulder, and thrust at all the weak with your horns, till you have scattered them abroad, I will rescue my flock. They shall no longer be a prey, and I will judge between sheep and sheep. And I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd, and I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David shall be prince among them. I am the Lord. I have spoken. The epistle reading is from 1 Timothy chapter 1. I thank him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithful, appointing me to his service, though formerly I was a blasphemer, persecutor, and insolent opponent. But I received mercy because I acted ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But I received mercy for this reason, that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience, as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. To the King of ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Please stand for the reading of the gospel.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 15th chapter. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear Jesus, and the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, This man receives sinners and eats with them. So he told them this parable. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost. Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and her neighbors, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost. Just so, I tell you, There is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. This is the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated as we continue on with the sermon song. Grace and peace be with you from God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I remember when I was a boy, my parents bought us an above-ground pool. How awesome was that? It wasn't one of these, though, new ones where you just inflate the top and it fills up. No, no. We had to get like half the family over there to hold the lining up while somebody else filled it. We just stood there for an hour holding this thing, waiting. The other kind of cool thing about it, though, was you had to have sand underneath the liner. And so there for a long time, we had a hill of sand at our house. And you know what a hill of sand is good for? That's right. King of the Hill. It's the best thing for King of the Hill ever. First of all, you don't have really good footing. So it doesn't matter who you are, you can be taken down. You can be taken down. And the second thing is, and this is especially for those that happen to make it to the top, when you do finally come down, sand is a softer landing than rock and other such items. So it was a great hill for King of the Hill. I absolutely loved it. Climbing all the way to the top, tossing down whoever it happened to be that was on top. But you know, when I would make it to the top, I'd always think to myself, I really didn't want to be there. The reason you didn't want to be there is because, well, you were on the top. Somebody was going to come up. Somebody was going to toss you back down. You were going down that hill. And so I always thought to myself, being on the top was kind of like being in the best place and the worst place all at the same time. It can be a funny thing to think about. When one's at the top, when one's the foremost, when one is the chief, you are both at the best and the worst. But when else would that really apply except when you're playing something like King of the Hill? Or does it apply to somewhere else? You know, when we talk about sin, even when we talk about sin inside the church, I've noticed that we have a tendency at times to minimize it. We have a tendency to minimize the impact of sin. Oh, we believe that we're sinners. We know that we're sinners. We know that we're sinful and unclean. But we have a tendency to make it sound like we're not that bad of sinners. We create categories and classifications. We try to make sure it's known that while we are sinners, at least we aren't quite that bad. I mean, we didn't kill anybody, which is sometimes the expression that's even used. But the older I get and the more I begin to ponder on this, I think one of the hang-ups is that we have a tendency to confuse things. We have a tendency to look at things a little backwards sometimes. When we talk about good works, we immediately talk about earning, paying, doing something like that. We immediately jump to a category of works righteousness. Of course, we're Lutheran here, so we know the dangers of works righteousness. We fight against it. We say over and over again that God's gift to us is not something that we can earn. But that thought is always there. It's always kind of in the back of our minds. But the confusion continues. That while we look at good works, and we have a tendency to think about giving back to God, when we look at sin, we look at sin in relation to our neighbor. It's how we rate it. It's how we classify it. It's why murder is typically seen as the worst of the worst. What could be worse than stealing or taking from the person that happens to be next to us, our neighbor? So while we love to say, with Paul, that we are the foremost of sinners, or we're the chief of sinners, we love to hear Paul say that, but we realize that Paul especially murdered people. He held their cloaks while they stoned Stephen. We know that he was there. He hunted down Christians. Paul was a very, very sinful person. The problem, of course, comes with the fact that the Bible makes it fairly clear that there is a confusion going on to some degree in our logic. You see, our good works are certainly good, but they're not something that God needs. He doesn't need you to give him your good works. He's God. What work can you possibly do that he cannot have on his own? What can you possibly give to God that would be able, that would be good enough for him? You see, even our good works are laced with our sin. Yes, we argue, at least we didn't kill anyone, only to forget that Christ himself teaches that if you hate in your heart, if you have anger in your heart, that you, in fact, are guilty of murder. No, our good works are not for God. Our good works are for the person who stands next to us. Our good works are for our neighbor. In the same way, sin isn't about our neighbor. Now, don't get me wrong. When we strive to do good, when we strive to live a life without sin, our neighbor certainly is uplifted. But this is because this is how God has designed us to be, with the love of his creatures in mind. Yet sin isn't for or against our neighbor. Sin is for or against God. Sin is the way in which we are separated from God. Sin is what places other things above our Lord. When we steal, we take something that God never gave to us and pretend as if he did. When we murder, we pretend that we ourselves are in fact the God of life and death, and that God is not. Each sin is its own separate way of separating ourselves from God. You see, as Paul writes this letter to Timothy toward the end of his life, Paul says that he is the foremost of sinners. He is the greatest. He is the biggest. And in a sense, it is the worst place to be. It's the worst place to be because it is there when one is the foremost that you realize just how awful of a person you are, just how sinful you are. Maybe not to your fellow man, but toward God. But you see, it's also the best place to be. You see, it's only there. It's only when you truly realize the gravity of your sin that you truly understand just how great God is. It's only then that you understand just how little you can do. In fact, that you can do nothing to earn the grace and mercy that God gives to you so freely. And while these words of Paul are words of Paul, I think to some degree we can all claim them. It's true. We didn't murder anyone. We might not have done anything that got us on the news or is newsworthy or otherwise. But we have committed sin. Not always against our neighbor, perhaps, but against our God for sure. And it is in that we claim that we are the foremost of sinners, that we are the chief. We are the biggest. That's the worst and the best place to be. It's the worst because we know it's true, but it's the best because we know that it is there and there alone that we realize that we cannot do it on our own. In fact, we can't do it at all. We need our Lord and Savior. We can't do it on our own. It is out of mercy that God, our Heavenly Father, sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to redeem us, to buy us back, to forgive us great sinners, for our sins, to save us even from ourselves. And knowing that we are redeemed by Christ Jesus, our Lord sends us out. He sends us out not to give him something, not to pay him back or pay for our redemption, but instead we are called to share his heart. And his heart is set on his creation. And that is why our good works are not for God, but they are for our neighbor. It's why we don't proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to Jesus Christ. He knows the gospel. He did the gospel. But that gospel message is for that person who sits next to us, who maybe never heard it, or maybe just needs to hear it again. It's why whenever we try to do good things, we do it for the person who stands next to us, because they're the ones who might need it the most. And we proclaim and we give and we proclaim that message, that same message that we ourselves first received, that message that is so beautiful on our ears because we know that we are the foremost of sinners, that message that we are saved through the work of Jesus Christ and him alone. And through him we have received forgiveness of sins and salvation. In his name, amen. And now may the peace of Christ, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us now stand as we confess our sins before God, our Heavenly Father, in the words of a prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, we come before you this day, Lord, because we have sinned in so many ways. And we have sinned against you. We have separated ourselves from you. Lord, we come before you this day because we have sinned in our thoughts and our words and our deeds. And we ask for forgiveness through the work of Jesus Christ. Hear us now as we confess our sins to you, as we pour our hearts out in a moment of silence. Hear us, O Lord, have mercy on us through your Son, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us now confess our common faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated as our service continues with our gifts and our offerings. Real quickly, before I move on, I actually forgot to mention two things. Unless they get distracting, the first thing is this. You'll notice something's missing. And I forgot to mention this right off the bat. I meant to do it right away. These are our communion rails. They are being refinished. And so that's why they're missing. So anyway, just so you are aware of that. And the other thing is I realized that Bill was sick lately, and you'll notice he's not here today. He's not sick. He's on vacation. I think he's in Iowa, if I remember correctly. He's coming home today, but I just wanted to make sure you all knew that as well. So anyway, and with that, if you can find that book of friendship out on the side by the aisles and sign that and get to know the people around you, that would be great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Please stand as we now prepare our hearts for prayer. As we pray, each petition will end. Let us pray to the Lord. The congregational response, it'll end. Lord, have mercy. I'm getting them all wrong, see? The congregational response is, hear our prayer. So let us now pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Let us pray. We praise your goodness, O God, for sustaining us day to day in all our needs of body and life, and for delivering to us your Son, that we may enjoy forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. We rejoice that you have granted to us the Comforter, that we may not be without your guidance and gifts, and we ask you to help us treasure in our hearts all that you have supplied for us and for our salvation. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, continue to bless this country and those who protect it. Keep safe those in the armed forces, including Travis Banks, Allison Barth, Charles Barth, Madeline Barth, Nicholas Barth, Drew Brown, Nathan Hain, Ian Kruger, Abby Lutz, Ben Lutz, Derek Lutz, Hope Watts, Stephen Watts, and Tanner Zach. And also be with those who protect us here, including the police and firefighters, and continue to strengthen all those in the medical fields to do good works for those who are wounded or in need of any type of medical assistance. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious God, be with all people celebrating anniversaries this week, especially for David and Merlin Shea as they celebrate 41 years of marriage. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful God, we give you thanks and praise for all your blessings. We especially thank you for the birth of June Ivy Walton, the granddaughter of Mark and Jan Schlater. We also give you thanks for the birth of June Elizabeth Breedlove, the granddaughter of John and Carol Breedlove. We thank you for all these blessings of new life and ask that you continue to be with them. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Bless this good land, O Lord, that it may be fruitful and provide a good harvest to supply the needs of many. Bless us with good weather and preserve us from natural and man-made disasters, famine and pestilence, war and bloodshed. Bless all honest labor and industry and provide employment for those without work and those without full-time employment. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Grant to all the sick, O Lord, the riches of your mercy to sustain them in their afflictions. Deliver them according to your will, comfort them with your presence, and build them up in the hope of new and everlasting life. Be especially with those having medical difficulties, including Michelle Palm and Joel Lutz, and also be with those who are hospitalized, including Gene Schaefer, and those we name in our hearts before you in a brief moment of silence. O Lord, give them a cheerful countenance and a grateful heart for all your mercies to them in their time of need. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would be with those that mourn this day, especially the family and friends of Louis Frederick. We ask, Lord, that you would wrap your almighty hands around them and grant them the comfort and peace that only you can give. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Preserve us, O Lord, from all temptation, and grant us faith that we may rest all our prayers and the desires of our hearts in your merciful arms, for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.